Hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom. And tonight we are Bridging Wisdom with Kurt. He has been all over the world on the Asia side. He's 23 years old. He was over in the Buddha colony with the temples, and he is deceased to amaze me with the way that he has explained to me about the auras and the way that you go into the temples, and it feels so reverent. So elating, and the feeling of just knowing. Kurt, I'm just going to bring you on right now and just welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
We were talking about a little bit about energies and how you just amazed me at how you explained to me how adults, you put it in categories. You said adults to your mother's age, which is 16 years younger than me, to where your age, which is 23, which is to your brother's age, which is 9. I call him the crystal child, which is just a never knowing, you know, the knowing of,
right.
And the rainbow children. And give us a little bit of an example of how you see, like even my mother, like the 76-year-olds, okay, and they see it as suppressing, you said, ego.
Absolutely. I see it as a generation seems to progress, younger kids have less of a screen between their inner mind and the outside world, whereas the earlier generations have a thicker barrier where those frequencies have more trouble going in and out of the actual mind.
Okay. What do you feel that, all right, you said when I was with you several weeks ago, when I haven't seen you in, what, 10 years or so? And you were talking about, I just want to go back to that, because you were talking about how my age, there's just a few that really, really, really get into it and know.
Right.
And the more your age is more like maybe 3/4. Your mother is more like a 3/4 or a quarter. And then your age is more like half. And then your brother's age around 9 or 10 is just knowing.
Right.
And what you were talking about, the frequencies, that how the thought process of sending and receiving.
Right.
Okay, let's get into that a little bit.
Well, basically, you know, there has been a developed sense of normalcy within our culture. And most of the time, we develop that understanding through our peers, our parents and family, and the older generations. Mm-hmm. So the ability to send and receive these frequencies is commonly shut down or dulled because of the programming that younger kids, the younger generations, receive from the older ones. And even though there is plenty of exceptions out there, unfortunately, when you're dealing with the mass, you know, with a mass percentage, a lot of times, you know, the youth falls under that trap.
Is it from a lot of, from the school systems, do you think, or do you believe it's from the parents, or?
I think it's a combination of our entire society. Progressive thinking is not something that's widely accepted because there's no actual scientific proof up until of late where scientists have actually begun to study these frequencies based on our thoughts.
Really? I've always said in many different radio broadcasts that it's an inner knowing. You know, I call it the knowing, which, you know, people can call it the higher power or whatever, but also I'd use the old radio dial. And I was listening to Win Free Radio last night, which is a Station 2 program. He was talking about a marble hitting the wall or taking a rock and throwing it out into the water in the ripples, you know, and thinking of that like the frequencies that people have with their energy waves. And you were talking earlier tonight about the energy waves and how we pick up certain energy frequency waves. Is that
absolutely? And every being individually has an equal ability to receive and send these signals. However, it takes training, it takes practice, it takes understanding, which can sometimes be suppressed by the ego that we all develop.
What exactly is the ego?
The ego is the sense of security your subconscious finds when it's scared to express its true self.
Really?
in my eyes.
I think that's a very good Okay, so I have always said drop the ego at the door.
Absolutely.
Because the ego is what keeps me from, okay, well, like I had a hard time hearing, it's a self-talk, you know, telling me that I can't do something, or, or you look good at it. You know, it's a fine line between pride and pride.
Exactly.
And I realized that ego is born when I was first told no and understood what it meant. And that's when I got cocky. And I had to learn to let that go.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you about this Buddha colony. Where all did you travel last year?
I traveled in the southeast region of Asia, starting in Malaysia, which is a more Muslim country. I did not have a chance to really explore that culture too much, for they are actually really private individuals.
Really?
They're so deeply in tune with their beliefs that it takes a full open and wandering mind to begin to accept what they believe in and how they practice their beliefs.
Really?
Yes. So that was something.
Were they open to allowing others to view or be around them?
They were. They were, you could visit different establishments where there was prayer and stuff like that, but it was very limited to the access in certain areas. It was kind of like a hit and miss thing. It was something I chose to actually keep a little bit of distance between that and myself, because I was there for such a short time in that particular area that it would be really confusing to try to dive into their culture too much.
What? You went to Thailand?
And yeah, on into Thailand and Cambodia is where we really started experiencing more open side of the Buddha religion. They have various different ways that they express the Buddha, such as the sleeping Buddha, the meditating Buddha, and it's very interesting.
There's different types of the Buddha religion?
Not necessarily. Of course, with every religion, there's various branches of beliefs where people differ from each other, but they represent their God, their spiritual higher power, by basically saying certain figures, such as other gods, and different representations of Buddha.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, when you went into, because when I was at your house the other day, but you're at my house now, but when I was at your house, you had this guy painted this picture for you, and I kept wanting to fold it. You remember? And what was that of?
That was a picture. That was a painting of the temple Angkor Wat.
Okay.
Which is in Angkor Wat, Cambodia.
Okay.
It's the largest active prayer site in the world.
It was so breathtaking. And you said that guy painted it in a couple of minutes?
In 15 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was very amazing.
It was like I could fall into it. I've seen that in my dreams. It looks like, it had all these archways and, oh, wow. Did you actually go in there?
Yes, I spent an entire day in there.
What did
it
feel like?
It was pretty amazing. As you mentioned earlier, the aura and the energy from that place in itself allows you to really tap into those frequencies, to information that I've never been able to see before and know about.
You're saying that an actual place can actually download information to you?
Absolutely.
I had no idea that. So when I sit in my house in this position like I do, and I project out and bring in,
absolutely,
you're saying that you can go to a place and it automatically pulls into you from probably all the energies that's been in that place.
Absolutely.
Right.
If you're one, lucky enough to really open your mind and be susceptible to those frequencies and those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yes, just like I am with the stone people and the trees. And
absolutely.
Right. So do you feel that all the history, like say in a painting, Van Gogh painting. Let's just take that hypothetically. That has nothing to do with Buddha, but I'm using that as an example. his energy and all the people that have looked at that Van Gogh, do you feel that that energy projects back into a person? Do you feel like the energy in the world from like just a picture or anything is projecting back, and that it's necessary for everybody to wear a shield today?
I think that in some cases with some people's minds, it's almost healthier to put that guard up.
Right.
I hope to see that our society moves in a different direction.
Do you feel that there's a new energy in the world today? When do you feel that it started?
I really saw it with that right around the time of the birth of my younger brother, probably in about 2001, the millennium.
Okay. Do you feel like any earth changes happened in the past since the end of October? Do you feel like there's any changes going to come up in the next month?
I'm not 100% sure.
Because I feel like that everybody's trying to guess and everything, and I'm just wondering at your perspective, at your age, what you see the world coming to. You know, what do you see in the economy and the world coming to today?
I see that there's a lot of conflicting interests, and I see that in order to really make a difference and make a strong change, there's going to have to be a newfound sense of unity amongst the people. If we're speaking in terms of our nation alone, what we would consider the majority, aka the 99%,
mm-hmm.
really, and as they've started, you know, with the protesting on Wall Street,
mm-hmm.
you know, us as a nation, we need to pull together and pray and manifest ourselves a better outcome. Better world.
Do you feel that if everybody could learn to meditate, which I feel that, you know, that is actively listening to our inner selves. If we could just sit and just be still and not worry about the other person and just worry about ourselves and not so much as, yes, we do have to protest, you know, not give, I don't know about what all's going on with this dollar and everything, but I just know that I have to learn to take care of myself and not worry about what other people are doing with whatever's mine or whatever. You know, let them have it. Let them, you know, do whatever with whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, it's no big deal anymore. It's not that anymore. It's about me evolving and setting an example, and my energy frequencies following and pushing out there to the better.
Absolutely. You know? By focusing on your interpersonal, you can project the energy to help others that you know
mm-hmm.
make better decisions and allow you to aid them, whether it might not even be a direct line of communication that you're offering. And that can be the benefit of focusing on yourself. I believe to heal, you must be healed.
Damn right, man. That's what a shaman is, you know. I had to dig deep into some core beings of myself in order to heal myself, to help other people. Now, I want to say that, you know, your dream and what you do for a living is kayak. You know, you run whitewater raftings.
Right.
And I was with you when Michael and I went over to your house with Allison and your brother. And he kept filling water everywhere, remember?
Mm-hmm.
It was before when I first met your mom again. Well, not met her, but I kept seeing those what were they? The little Hopi people out there, you know, in your yard before I went to your house. But the water was everywhere, and that's what you do. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
As a whitewater river guide,
mm-hmm.
I have the opportunity to, on a daily basis, take people down and basically just have short little entertaining encounters with them as we experience, you know, something that puts them a little out of their norm,
uh-huh.
a little bit of instability. But at the same time, in these unstable conditions, as we go down this whitewater, you're able to help develop people's confidence. Maybe someone that was really, really nervous about the trip halfway through becomes one of the most fearless crew members on board. So it's amazing to see
how
you can really impact people's level of confidence, their self-esteem, their belief in what they're actually capable of, and stuff like that.
I feel like I'm on it right now. That's why I'm just kind of staring out in this space. Because I'm like in one of your trips.
We had a corporate group of 20 individuals come rafting
uh-huh.
3 days ago, and there was one lady who was absolutely terrified. She had decided not to go. She was in her late 60s, and she just didn't think that her body would be able to handle it. She thought she'd get hurt.
Are they rubber raft? What do they look like?
Yep, they're blue 15-foot rubber rafts. Mm-hmm. You pump them up pretty solid so that mm-hmm. it's not too soft.
How many can get in a raft?
7.
Okay.
Yep. So I convinced this lady. I told her that I would keep her safe. I gave her my word. By the end of the trip, she kept expressing to me how, you know, I really changed her perspective on what she's capable of at that stage in her life.
Wow.
And she felt like a whole new person. I could see it in her eyes. She had a whole new, you know, sense of being just from
something?
That one 45-minute experience.
Isn't that something?
It was amazing.
Now, when I was at your house, I can see you making literally the, looks like road maps, but water maps. Does that make sense to you?
In a way, since you brought that upon my attention, I've been trying to work on it and come up with some ideas.
It's like got little rails in it. I can't explain it. But it's water, and it's man-made water, like dug out.
Right.
But it's got rails in it to help people learn, to have confidence, per se. Kind of like
Absolutely.
A school.
Yep. And all around the world, there's constantly disaster situations from nature,
mm-hmm.
such as flooding. And we do a lot of swift water rescue training.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been a deep interest of mine. I've been focusing on that, where it'd be a lot, you know, an easier method to instruct people how to deal with swift water while keeping them safe at the same time.
The season coming to a close, what do you do in the closing season? Do you teach? Do you get together different groups and go around in corporates and work that way? Or
well, basically, most of the river guides, they move on to other work opportunities. Last year, I spent most of the off-season in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
So that has always been a popular choice for me. As the season comes to an end, I usually flee
Where are you
country.
Going next, or where are you wanting to go?
I would love to go to New Zealand.
Is that where you're going next?
I feel like that's my calling. They have a lot of white water there. I'd like
well,
to explore it.
Pull up some of your pictures and let's discuss some of those. Well, even though the active listening audience, I wanted to say you're listening to, it's November the 8th, 2011. This is Bridging Wisdom. We're Kurt Munster. How do you say your last name?
Minster.
And it's Allison. Hey, Allison.
Hey,
Kathy. Allison's son. And Adam, you want to say hey?
Hi.
That's a little Chris.
Right now, so.
He's come over here and say hey. We call you the Crystal Child.
All right.
Okay, good. You know, you've got a lot of insight. Yeah, and your Michael, you want to holler out to Michael? Say, he'll hear you on the archive. They can't see you, but they can hear you, buddy. Okay, so you can just say hello and tell how you have good insights and visions. And what do you feel? How do you remember how you could see what Michael was doing for a living and how you saw the word help and you saw that he was a guard?
Yeah, there was a little thing where you put my... Put your thumb on my head, and I put my...
Talk a little bit louder.
And then I put my thumb on Michael's head.
In the third eye.
Yeah. And, Kathy said a prayer, and,
Yeah, and you saw, when we saw each other, we felt like we had known each other forever, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I've seen you before.
And you said I had wings, like an angel.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
But also, you keep drawing these lions with wings.
Yeah, I heard that when you said that certain people draw those things.
Yeah, I gave your mother a book called 1111. I've never read it, but I did flip through it, and it said that certain people see the lions with wings and that we need to pull that out. And your mother, Allison, right?
Right.
That you give permission for your son to look further into any gifts that he's got.
I sure do.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about. It's not suppressing these children. And we did go stone digging, right?
Oh, yeah.
With Michael.
Yep. He got a lot of animals there.
Yeah, I do. Well, what would you tell the active listening audience to the kids, the parents of the kids today your age, if you could give them some good advice?
Such as?
Well, you know, about gifts and things, you know. You love the word every time you hear spiritualism. You go, spiritualism? Spiritualism? What do you think of spiritualism? What does that word mean to you?
Something spiritual,
maybe? It means everything, doesn't it? To the good of love and greatness.
My greatness, or something that's very helpful for me, or something that would remind me a lot of something,
yeah,
is making those wooden crosses.
Tell them about the wooden crosses. You make me, and I set them on my computer, don't I?
Yeah. What I do is I get one of these, those leaves from those pine trees.
Uh-huh. It's a pine needle.
Yeah, and then I get two little straight sticks, give me big or small, and I just tie those things together, and it just forms a cross.
You love the weeping willows the best.
Oh, yeah, I like whipping them around and stuff, and Kathy uses them for the spirits, and, you know, I asked them. And
yeah, we learned to ask them, right?
Yep, and, you know, when it blows, it looks like a face.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, you've learned to look at the different trees and stuff and see faces.
I actually did see a little face when the wind blew.
What'd you see with the piece of wood I showed you and how I got a gift today?
It was like a man. I could see the hair. It was like, oh.
Mm-hmm. And it went with the shaman wood?
Yep.
The same bark. Exact?
And there's
the wood that's a termite wood, and that was from 10 years, about 20 years ago. And then in May the 1st, I did a ritual ceremony to welcome something in for just beauty and love, and it gave me a piece of bark, and it was the same thing, wasn't it?
Yep.
And so,
I mean, you could like see it. It's like same thing.
No. It was crazy. You saw that tonight, didn't you?
Yeah, that was freaking. And the mask, it had a mask for you.
Yeah, and I took the mask off, didn't I?
Yeah.
Right, and then your mom and you and all of y'all have those Hopi people in your yard.
Yep.
And I didn't even know that.
Have you ever told you the story? You know, remember the last time I was here when I went outside?
Yeah.
Well, I was actually looking at, there's like a trail of feathers, right?
Yeah. Somebody left those for me, little black feathers, all in a row.
Yeah, and they're like in a tray, and it goes in that little, like,
mm-hmm. I left them there because it was honoring, somebody honored me because of a ceremony I did outside, so I left them because that was an honor. Somebody left little black, straight black feathers in a row, little small ones.
Wow.
Yeah, you saw those, huh?
Probably the spirits of the Weeping Willow.
Maybe so. Weeping Willow's moon. Would you like to see something that Adam's getting ready to show us? I mean, Kurt, your brother? What? About the Buddha colony? You want to see what he's got? Or do you want to?
Yeah, I'll see it.
Okay. Let's see what he's got. You want to get on the other side? Oh, my gosh. Where is that?
These are basically pictures of just small Buddhist temples, places of worship.
So that's spiritual right there.
It's very cool how
everything.
Most random places in the streets throughout some of the cities I went to, you would see these little tiny huts with these amazing decorations and detailed sculptures.
There's two horses. And then that look, wow, I'm going to have to get you to send me a copy of that so I can put it on the TNT News Trader.
That's the beauty inside of some of these temples.
That's spiritualistic right there. You can, man,
do you see
wherever you are on this thing, you should see
this. No, that's
this.
Just say bbsradio.com.
BBS.
Active listening audience.
Active listening audience, you should see this picture right now.
This is bridging wisdom.
that's spiritual life.
Is that Bridging Wisdom?
Yeah.
See, that's the name of the show, is Bridging Wisdom.
Look.
There you go. There's the knowledge tree. Yes. Now, that's called, that's a goddess, what's her name? She's got all the arms.
And the third eye, see?
Yeah. So tell me, what'd you feel when you? Where'd you get these pictures? Was that in a was that in a temple?
It was. It was
okay.
In a temple.
What'd you feel when you saw that?
The thing
that's amazing.
I know, right?
Allison, get over here.
The thing about these sculptures and basically all the architecture of these temples I witnessed, it's amazing how it's the people's devotion towards their beliefs is the cause of this. It's really unique, as different from a lot of Western religion, whereas it was almost seen as a business, as you may have heard, even from stories in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
where Jesus became angry at the fact that church was profiting from the people.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that wasn't right.
I heard that the way I was raised is you don't pray to other gods or goddesses.
Right.
And you only pray to God.
I got a question. Are these men or women? Because, I mean, if it's men, that's fine. But, I mean...
They look like men.
Yes.
Those are men.
It's really... Good. It's not really... these statues aren't really supposed to represent a particular
and also,
sex.
And also, see,
it's
they've got,
about,
like, three faces.
So those are men?
So just like I drew in those. Go get that piece of wood right there. I want to show you how it's the same. It's kind of like a spiritual thing, like you said, Adam. See that big piece of wood? Yeah, it's heavy. Yeah, but look over there at the top. You'll see it. No, right there. Just bring me that piece of wood. Mm-hmm. That piece of wood. And you'll see it's kind of like that same thing. Because I drew what the termites had. Now you'll see right here. See how it's all, there's three eyes, but it's two faces.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
See that? It's kind of like that. See?
I can see it. See, yeah, look. It's one, two.
We're talking
they're
about.
Together.
But we got to remember we're on air and they can't see what we're seeing. What we're discussing is how spiritual that.
Yes,
that
termites.
It's like. But what we're saying is that the faces, you know, that the inner. That it's like an inner person has many faces.
You see basically. That bird? Look at that bird.
That's the falcon rising. But everybody has many faces, and it's just like, that is gorgeous. So tell me a little bit about the different feelings that you got. Did you get a different feeling in each different temple?
Absolutely. Each had its own separate aura.
Oh, my gosh.
It had its own unique features. Again, this statue in particular, this statue is three stories tall.
Thank you, Adam. Adam's got to go do his homework. Say thank you.
See
bye,
you.
Active listening audience.
All right.
Say bye, BBS Radio.
Bye, BBS Radio.
I love you.
These are images are from statues around a site called the Batu Caves in
mm-hmm.
Malaysia.
Okay.
And basically, this again just shows you the undivine devotion that these people offer. You know, to what they believe in. This statue right here in particular is probably
about
100. And
what's the name of that statue? So people can, we'll put those together. You can make a YouTube or something and put those together for them.
Absolutely. I'll get the titles to them.
Okay. Also. What is that right there? All those stairs.
This right here was a walk into a worshiping site in the middle of one of the largest caves in Malaysia.
But tell me a little bit about the feelings. That's what I'm looking for, is the feelings of what you felt when you saw something, and it's so colorful and so divine looking, and so there's no words to even describe what these people, and they're so old, it's so old that it would take the architecture alone.
Absolutely. It's just one of the most appealing things about going to sites like this is you get to witness such devotion from the people and what they believe in, and they are willing to spend years and years of their life creating these monuments. And the energy, the intention that these individuals have put into this site is...
What is that gold thing that you just said? That right there.
This is a 75-yard tall statue. It's about 25 stories tall, and it is not, it's painted, it's like coated in solid gold. So it's pretty amazing. And these are just all sorts of different little sites here.
Well, if you could choose, like, Allison, can you come here just a minute? I want to ask you something. Because one of the things that you said to me was, how do you tell your child you don't want them to have to be chosen of a religion, right? You want them to choose their own religion. You remember that when we first got back together?
Yes. I believe that. Because I grew up in the Catholic Church.
You need to speak up a little bit.
I grew up in the Catholic Church, and from what I've read up until today, I feel that that my children should make up their own decisions on their beliefs and how they should follow. Like, my older son Kirk was raised Catholic, and when we moved to the South, he decided to convert to Baptist, which I felt was completely fine as long as he had a religion or a belief that he believed in. So my son, Adam, is not baptized or in any part of a religion because I want him to be able to explore and decide for his own self what would be the best for him, what following would be the best for his beliefs.
Okay, are you going, you got to gently nudge him though, and then your, and his father figure feels like, okay, what do you feel there?
Well, I'm kind of at the crossroads myself in this aspect. I don't know quite where to nudge him in that direction. I know he needs some type of spiritual guidance.
He sees into everything like I do.
He does.
He sees into pictures like I do. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, we have, Michael and I taught him to turn on and off the light switch.
Right.
You know, and we caught, you know, anyway, you go back to the archives about maybe a month and a half ago,
mm-hmm,
is when we first met Adam, and you can follow up to now, the stories about, mm-hmm, what we've learned with him. But the spiritual aspect, you know, where do you draw the line?
That's a good question.
And how do you keep one from, you know, keeping it in the road? Because Adam's always in that spiritual realm. You have to pull him through, you know. And
that's something we're both discovering,
mm-hmm,
at this time in our lives. He's teaching me.
I tell you. And what did
and
you say?
I'm learning from Kirk.
Kirk said, deal. What did you say, Kirk? You said that people don't understand, that he sees things that nobody else sees, or he goes places that nobody else goes.
Absolutely. I believe that. I believe mentally that there is a flowing and a streaming, a live streaming in and out of information and realization that I believe it myself, I don't even see sometimes. But through his intention, through his mind, by tapping into that, it opens my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
For I'm allowed to experience a lot about what he sees. And I think, like you were talking about just a second ago about drawing the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
did you pull that out, Allison? It's behind the bookshelf. What he keeps drawing. He says that those were Michael's metaphysical symbols. Michael Goger.
I feel like a line in religion needs to be drawn.
You can show this to Kurt. I mean, and he keeps drawing them on the cross, and the cross looks like the cross of the Knights of Templar. And see, it has a trunk of an elephant. Look at all that he's got, and the snake, the cobra.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put that on a line too. I'll have that's a lot of work to put on for you guys. It's a shame. I do have a TV streaming, so I will do that next time that we have you guys here. What is it, buddy?
Oh.
Welcome home, Kathy. Yeah. I'm home. Anyway, so what do you feel that, how does he, Adam, how do you feel that you feel like you flow constantly with this information?
Spiritual?
Yeah, spiritual information.
Yeah. It happens at school sometimes. I see pictures. You know, it's just a blur, you know?
What do you see things with people? And you see what the, do you read things constantly? Or do you know how to tune it on and off?
About Civil War and the Trail of Tears, about the Indians.
And you have to talk louder. You're learning about, okay, how do you know about, tell about the shapeshifters. How do you know all this information about all these words and stuff? Because you seem to know all these metaphysical symbols and words and stuff.
Well, one, I kind of get these from, like, say, lost tapes.
Uh-huh.
And I got shapeshifting by people changing into a certain animal because what they did is...
What's lost tapes?
Lost tapes is about the one, you know, where the shapeshifter went, this skin.
Oh,
doctor.
That's that thing you showed me that day.
Yeah.
Okay, but how do you know, like, all these moth names and all these little, you know, all these little...
The Astro Boy?
You know all this stuff. Where do you, does some of this information just come to you?
Yeah.
You knew it? Like, when you saw me for the first time, you didn't want to come to the house. And then all of a sudden, we ran into each other's arms like we had known each other forever. Do you see people all over the place like that? Like when you saw Michael, you just knew you knew him.
Yeah, even though I've probably never even met him before, have I?
Uh-uh. Have you, do you, when you meet people?
Sometimes I can see people, and let me guess, is your name, like, say, Tom?
And
I don't get it right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's like you knew them from before. And did they know you too? Or y'all just don't discuss it?
I just say, hey, you know, whatever. They just turn around and say, what? And I was like, did I get your name right?
No, I'm going to ask your brother something. Do you feel that that gets him to understand, is people beginning to understand his ways more in this generation now, into the world today?
I think it goes both ways.
Okay.
I think that through a higher sense of realization, I really feel like when it comes to him, it's trouble to put in the words being so young, but I feel that he has the ability to really sense people's emotion more than such direct things like their names. You
mm-hmm.
know, that's how you develop such a quick emotional connection
by
to somebody
it, right.
is, you know, if you have the ability to read into people and what their thoughts are and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that, I feel that in some cases he's going to be embraced
mm-hmm.
very heavily with these gifts. I feel a lot of people would shut him off.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, you know, as
it's
you were
like
saying, you
have
received criticism for your abilities
to
channel.
You used to not understand it when you were younger, did you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, until I read countless documents, you know.
Did it freak you out the other week when I was at your house?
Absolutely not. I was very uncomfortable.
I was there for 5 hours and didn't even know it. Huh?
You were a little surprised.
I was pretty...
Oh, I was definitely surprised how intuitive you were and how spot on your calls were with how I was feeling emotionally at the time.
I think the thing that that had to pull me out was when you went, whoa! When I pointed at the computer word. You know, and
yeah.
I was not even looking.
That was crazy.
I know. It's just.
It wasn't freaky. It was astonishing.
Yeah.
It was.
I don't let people on air. I mean, I only keep it in my inner world,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's a good thing because I keep a clientele here in the house. It's in my inner room. I don't go out into the internet with it.
Right.
If that makes sense, because it's so profound. I believe that, you know, it's a special thing and that we shouldn't just go out there and flaunt it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
You know, it's mm-hmm. and I don't just turn it on. I don't read everybody. I don't just, you know, and that's the way you are with your gifts. And, you know, thank God you've got the gift of making people feel secure. Like
right.
you did that lady. Do you know how many people you have touched and making them feel good? Just like you just did with me with my gifts and making me know that I stayed with it. I stuck with it no matter what. I was bound and determined. I know everybody thought I was a freak all those years. You look back when you were growing up and you just were so sweet to me, you know, when you were 9 and 10 and 11. And everybody looked at me like I was a nutcase. They still do, but
Right. I'm going to do my cricket noise.
You know what?
My cricket noise.
Okay. Oh, listen to Adam's cricket noise. Ready?
Hold on, yeah.
Okay. Do it right here.
Wait.
How are you doing that? Do it again out of your mouth. That's pretty good. You got a higher sounding one. Those are your children.
I know. Crickets.
Y'all sit there and talk to each other and
he taught. And when I first did this, he said he can do a cricket noise. When
let me hear you all talk to each other in cricket noises. Close your eyes and talk to each other in cricket.
I can do hi, Kirk, in cricket.
Okay, listen. Close your eyes. You two brothers, I want y'all to communicate in a rainforest, okay? Okay, do it. Ready? Wow, that is so beautiful. What two brothers and what bond y'all have.
I'd be better with not.
I asked you to give me
monkey?
A glass of water.
You did? I'd like a glass of water too.
You want to hear my monkey?
Yeah. Go get your brother a glass of water.
All right.
Okay, we've got like 10 minutes left. I am really excited that we've got four generations here and four different aspects, and we're all on the same wavelength, basically.
That's
really a friggin' miracle here. And this house is such a sanctuary to me. And I welcome anybody and everybody in that just is part of the world of love and honesty and care.
Here you go.
And everybody share and share alike. Do you think that I feel like, that the love frequency is music and water and air and earth. But tell me, Adam, what do you know about, you just finished a civil war.
Oh, yeah, and the Trail of Tears.
Yeah.
The Indians.
Yeah, tell me about your.
When I learned about that, I got kind of surprised about the middle of my thing on project.
Yeah.
And it said, at nighttime, I could hear all those souls dying from the loud gunshots.
You could? You literally went there?
No, I mean, what you had to do is you got to act like a person in the Civil War. Oh. I was a medic.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
you know, Michael's a medic. He was a doctor one time in a
yeah,
past life.
And
so you're talking like a
Kirk
past
was
life.
Part of it. His leg got hurt, and the captain told me to get to sleep, and I wrote, I could hear all those dead souls dying from loud gunshots I could hear while sleeping.
Oh, my goodness. So you're a medium. It's like
you... Medic.
Medic, okay. So you felt that.
Yeah, I could, like...
Did it hurt? Did you...
It fit. What felt very well. And my teacher was so surprised that she asked me to actually read that part again.
Adam,
really?
Do you feel that is any possibility that perhaps the experiences that you were writing may have been that of an actual person in that time?
Oh, yeah.
You think you were channeled?
It took, the whole American Civil War took 4 years.
Well, he's asking if you were a medium. And that a medium is when you are channeling through becoming that person. Do you feel that you were a person that actually went through that? And you
I so felt like it. I mean, I could visualize.
How old are you?
9.
And you've always done this since you were born? Is it getting stronger as your gifts are?
Oh, yeah.
Allison, please let them know that you have permission to let your son be talking on air about his gifts.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What about the black dog I talked about with you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I saw that black dog first, though.
I know, but I mean, I could literally, like, see it.
Yeah.
I could see it. You know, the black dog that'd come every morning?
Yeah.
Yep. My stepdad, Brian, see my stepdad?
Yeah.
Every morning he'd take me to preschool or kindergarten.
Oh, that dog that wouldn't come near anybody. Yeah.
Yeah, and his dog would, like, this black dog with blue eyes would come.
That's what I saw around you, remember?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. He literally, like, had blue eyes.
But I saw that around you. Is this real?
I'm not kidding.
I know.
This is real.
I'm trying to understand when you were over.
No black.
Yeah, there was. Every morning, a dog would come, and I would pet him. And it, I named him Rocky.
I thought that was a dream you had.
It's probably a dream too.
That's what you were talking about.
Dreamed about him.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I thought you were saying, that you had around you that day when I first met you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting dream. Those are called Alaskan Huskies. Yeah. Well,
in my dream, I saw like.
I want to talk about dreams. Do you feel like your dreams come true? Do you see your dreams from past? Do you feel like
I see a lot of dreams from the past?
Okay. Do you feel like that you're here from? Do you feel like you're here from before?
This house kind of like feels like it's familiar.
Does it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Do you feel like that there's space aliens? Love it, Buddha. Kurt's got his hair up in a little Buddha thing, ponytail. I tell you what. Do you all believe in space aliens? Do you believe that we're going to be rescued by space aliens?
Rescued?
Or do you believe in space aliens?
I believe that just as there is an absolute and definite possibility of us having life here in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the intelligence is everywhere.
There must be as great and powerful as our universal law of energy is. I can't imagine that it ends.
Do you feel that our universe is going to survive?
I believe that the energy that we all possess, the energy in which is creation in some eyes, which is God, is for everlasting and eternal. So whether this part of this universe might be in some condition at some point, there's going to be another part where it's thriving. There's always going to be abundance. There's always going to be love. There's always going to be creation. I don't believe that that type of energy of that type of magnitude has the ability to end, even if it wanted.
I love the way we are acting out the whole broadcast. We have been acting it out. I wish we had a next time, active listening audience. I promise we will be streaming live on TV. I promise, because this is priceless. You guys are welcome back next Tuesday for part two. Can y'all come back next Tuesday?
We'll try.
No, we got to know. We are bridging wisdom with four generations here.
I'm coming.
You're coming?
I got one when you asked, like, aliens.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, we did projects. It's called, it's something.
Okay.
You know?
It doesn't matter, just as long as it's a feeling.
It's about, like,
well, that's
about weather and like things
now,
that
do you feel
happen.
It? Yeah. Okay.
And like my friend Lexi, she pulled up one and she said scientists discovered four new worlds.
Really?
And they never knew if there were life on it or not.
Uh huh.
So. You know, I could say maybe there are aliens out there.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I say to other kids that I believe what I want to believe.
Okay, that's a good one.
Because sometimes.
Because we can believe. We all have a right to our own thoughts, right? And we have a right to our own thought system, right? And no one should mind control another person, right?
Oh, no. Yeah.
What is mind control?
Mind control is when someone takes over your body, like possession.
Do you believe that what would happen if that happened in this world?
It would cause a lot of tragic, and it wouldn't go too well. People would die a lot. Say they were, like, rushed by others, and, mm-hmm. like...
So you know what mind control is?
Yeah, it won't happen. It'll never happen, because people know that it could be probably the end of the world. Plus, I got another one. They're, one of the projects.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no project, but Miss Russell, my teacher in fourth grade,
mm-hmm.
she said that this meteor was going to hit the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
that's a planet. That's a, like a, it's called
Dinosaur Time.
Okay, but wait, isn't that called E L A N E N Elenin E L E N E N Elenin or something like that, or Planet X or whatever?
Well,
Elenin. And when I was little, I used to dream about Elenra. Elenra, I used to call it. And
in that book, 11.
Yeah, I used to dream that. Remember?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
You wrote that in a
I know. I didn't even read that book yet. That's another reason I didn't read that book.
You know,
it scared me.
Scientists, they like pushed it away.
Yeah, I pushed it away too.
And everyone thought it was going to be the end of the world, so we might have like tons and tons of more years to go by.
Mm-hmm.
People thought that was going to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
But, I mean, scientists, you know, there's, like, buildings to keep them safe, or say, like...
Underground?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But some believe that the sun collided with the Earth, which would burn it, so that wouldn't possibly happen.
Mm-hmm.
And volcanoes, no, because that would burn the Earth.
Okay, do you feel like there's a volcano underground that's getting to erupt?
Oh, yeah.
Ever in, where is it?
In oceans.
Okay.
And
do you feel that the Earth is changing into a better world?
Every day. Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a better world?
Oh, yeah.
Do
you know what? If it's the
let
end
me
of the
ask
world,
you, as a crystal child, rainbow child, do you, what, where is this world changing to? What do you see the world happening in the next 10 years? What's 12? What is the world year 2012 mean? What does
the world's gonna end? Maybe.
But is it really gonna end, or is it a new beginning?
I mean, people say the world's gonna end.
But what does Adam see? You.
I see that by people saying like the world's gonna change, like it's
there,
gonna be,
yeah.
It's gonna change. It's gonna be better. The world is going to end. It's going to end that bad day, and
mm-hmm.
it's going to end to a nice day, and to a nicer day, and then it goes on and on and on.
As your perspective, as seeing things at your age, do you see that other children and other adults are going to wake up into their gifts? And not be so, look at me, but be a oneness instead of dual, you know, two separates.
Every person that's hearing this right now, they'll probably understand what's going to go on every other day.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, this is no joke. This is like...
We've got to get with the program, right? We've got to get with the program. I know, I love his hair. I know, he's got his hair. It is cute.
Oh, my God.
What do you have? We've
it's
got
like
to,
a hobo.
We've got to wrap it up because they got to get a new program out. We're going to make an energy ball. Okay?
I
do this at the end of every program. We're going to make an energy ball. Now, put into there all the positive. What do you want to put in this energy ball?
I want to put, let's do this every Tuesday.
Okay, but put in something good. Kisses, hugs, positive peace, love, awakenings, what?
All right. I love you all, people of the world, and... I hope you had a good show
or
speech here.
And that you want all of us to have what? You want
peace
everybody?
Peace and love and health
and harmony and
oh,
goodness.
Yeah. It's going to change, y'all.
It's
going to change. Just talked about it.
And what do you put in, Allison?
Knowledge.
Oh, yeah. All tons and tons of knowledge.
Thank you, everybody. Kurt, thank you for being a part of Bridging
Wisdom.
Thank
you so much. was a pleasure.
I love you guys. Y'all are like family to me. And what's the name of this show? Bridging?
Bridging Wisdom.
And what did we just do? Four generations of Bridging Wisdom. Thank you, everybody. This is November the 8th, 2011, with Allison and her two sons, Kurt and Adam. Kathy Cook signing off. Good night, everyone. BBS Radio Station 1. Listen up. Tune in every Tuesday.
And don't forget to turn on your radio every Tuesday.
Tell Michael we missed him.
Oh, yeah. We missed you, Michael. So don't forget it.
Come back Tuesday, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Bye-bye, everybody.